All right, we're honored to have Brother Martin with us as he makes his way up. I always say he's been here so many years, I just know this, it's another year. It's probably pushing 20, and he's a blessing, and we appreciate him, and always love to hear him. He always helps us and is a blessing in his messages, and so we're glad to have him. He'll be with us tonight. He'll also be with us on Sunday, and so let's give him a warm Pacific Baptist welcome.
All right. Thank you, preacher. Well, good evening. You guys are sleeping. Good evening. Oh, there you go. Okay. Just want to make sure you're awake. Good to be here and good to be back. Always good to be back at Pacific. And it has been right at or just over 20 years since we first started coming. So it's been a long time. And I thank the Lord for the opportunity to be back again. Thank the Lord that you all have us back again. Amen. You may laugh, but there are some preachers that won't have me back anymore. But it's because they don't want what this book has to say. So, and they start going a different way, and I don't know we want that here. So anyways, thank God for your preacher who stayed the course, amen, and staying on track. My wife Terry, stand if you would, if you don't know who my wife is. And keep her in your prayers, if you would. She is she's really having a really hard time with a knee that needs to be replaced, and we're having a fit trying to get them to do it. And so we do have an appointment with a surgeon coming up the first week of March, and just pray that she can get that done. It'll make life a whole lot easier for her. But it is good to be back. I've enjoyed being with the college students and spoken to them. Today we did some teaching and preached to them and to the high school kids on today, and then on Tuesday preached the college. And so it's just always good to be with you guys. We love you and appreciate you. Pray for you weekly, and we covet your prayers too. If you would, grab your Bibles and turn to two places, Matthew chapter 26 and Luke chapter 22. Matthew chapter 26 and Luke chapter number 22. While you're turning there, let me ask you a question. How many times have you and I said or made the comment, well, I would never do that. Or you'll never catch me doing that. I wouldn't even try that. It's a tough thing when you say that and you have to eat your words. Years ago, I made the comment after being up there a few times to preach, and I said, I know one thing for sure, I will never live in northern Michigan. And within about 3 years, the Lord planted us in northern Michigan for 15 years. Wow. Never say never. Amen? Yeah. You got to be very careful about that. And we think about the foolish things that people do and say and do, and maybe we'll sit there and say, well, I would never do that. Yeah, right. We don't know what we do, what we're capable of doing and end up doing. The story today is of someone that was really, truly close to the Lord. Really, maybe at one point he got to the place, as we read through this passage of Scripture, where maybe he thought he was a little bit invincible. I mean, this wasn't just anybody. This was one of the apostles. This was one of the disciples. This was one of the inner circle. And maybe he just thought, you know what, I ain't got nothing to worry about here. But in the end, he realized that he was just flesh like everyone else and was susceptible to the weaknesses that we have in the flesh. We see people make foolish decisions and fall off into sin, and we see leaders fall, and we say, how could they be so foolish? I would never do something like that. We better be careful. Let's read through this portion of Scripture here in Matthew chapter 26, if you would, and we'll begin reading in verse number 31. Let's just start in verse 31. It says, "Then saith Jesus unto them all." This is right after that, Last Supper, if you would. And he said, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And likewise also said all the disciples. Now we're going to read down through this portion of scripture, but jumping fast forward a little bit, we get to the very end of the story, and we see that Peter ends up denying the Lord. Not only did he deny the Lord, but I mean, he denied with an oath. Not only did he deny with an oath, he cursed and swore at people that accused him of being a friend with the Lord Jesus. What I want to speak about tonight for just a few moments is a simple thought I entitled, How Never Becomes a Reality. I mean, we really so oftentimes get to the place where we think we're above other people or we're invincible, and boy, we better be careful. You know, the scriptures tell us over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13, we know that verse there where it says, There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Sometimes we don't stop to think about in context where it's at. The verse preceding that says, Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Yeah. Amen. God's able to deliver us out of temptation and everything, but you better be careful about who you think you are and what you think you can do. It's all in the Lord's hands. Amen. Jeremiah 17, 9 tells us the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Amen. So I want to speak for a few moments on that thought, how never became a reality and how it could in our lives also. Father, please bless the next few moments we have to spend together. I do pray that you would challenge our hearts through the simple truth this evening. And Lord, help us to get out of this passage what you desire for us to. I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross and you'd be lifted up and that you'd help us to take heed to the warning this evening and this passage of scripture. We'll be careful to give you the glory for what you do, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Now, the truth of the matter is there are some things that I think we can pretty much say never about. You say, what do you mean? Well, if somebody ever tells you that Brother Martin jumped out of an airplane, they're a liar. Brother Martin ain't never jumping out of an airplane. You have to kick me, you have to cut my arms off from holding on to the plane or something. I'm not jumping out of an airplane. They ain't possible, okay? But in all seriousness, I'd say that so many times there are things that we say, well, I will never do that. I would never get to that place. I'd never, and before you know it, it happens. I mean, even to the degree, and I'll be careful what I say here, but just a couple months ago, a young man that worked with me in the camp ministry and grew up in church and just loved God, and just 2 months ago, 20 years of age, he took his own life. I promise you, nobody would have ever thought that would happen. Never. What are you saying, Brother Martin? You better take heed. You better take heed. The things you never possibly happen can end up becoming a reality. Well, how is that, Brother Martin? Let's look at a few thoughts here. First one is this, and I'll just say this. I'm not going to read down through all of the verses of Scripture here, but in at the beginning of Matthew here, and then over in Luke, if you've got your place there in Luke, I want you to notice again in Luke chapter 22 and verse 31, it said, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. So he's warning him ahead of time about what's going to happen. But here's the thing that I believe, that the premise, the overwhelming premise of what happened to lead him down that pathway was this right here. He began to take the Lord Jesus for granted. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Martin? I mean, he was with him continually. I mean, he's been, if you would, on the road with the Lord Jesus for the last 3 years. I mean, he's been side by side with him. He's seen all the miracles. He's seen all the things that he's done. He's heard all the teaching. He's heard all the preaching. But he's beginning to take the Lord for granted. This is the Lord Jesus. This is God in the flesh that's speaking to him and saying, hey, be careful, be careful. Satan wants to take you. He desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee. He took that for granted. What are you saying, Brother Martin? We better be careful that we never get to the place in the Christian life that we take the Lord Jesus for granted. Amen. Amen. Being in and around him bred familiarity. And we know familiarity breeds contempt. Let's draw the application. Being in and around church continually all the time. Being in the Christian school. Being in the college. Going soul winning. Doing all the things that we're supposed to do. If you're not careful, you can get to the place you begin to take the Lord Jesus for granted. God is so good to us. Amen. He gives us the privilege to be able to be saved, and the privilege to be able to live for him, the privilege to be able to serve him. Hey, the privilege to have a wonderful church building like you all have. Amen. The privilege to have the pastor that you have. These are all blessings from God. Amen. Be careful that you don't begin to take those things for granted. Don't take the authority of the Lord and his word for granted. Amen. Better take heed to what his word has to say. He was warning him here. Don't take for granted, by the way, time with him. Well, I'm doing all these things. So it really, you know, I may not have enough time to walk with him. Whoa, be careful. You need him every day of your life. I need him every day of my life. Amen. We need to walk with him. We need to stay close to him. Don't take him for granted. It's just not a one-time thing and you don't have to worry about anything. No, we've got this corruptible flesh that we got to deal with every day of our life. Amen. We need him every day. Don't take for granted the fact that you need him. Again, his authority, that he will always be with you. You say, well, wait a minute, Martin. God said that he'll always be with us. He wants to always be with us everywhere we are. But I'm going to tell you something. When you go off into sin or you begin to take advantage of that thought, don't you expect God to run off in sin with you? Man, you lose that presence and power of God. I talked to the young people today about the dangerous places for a young person to get to. That's a dangerous place to get to. Amen. What are you saying, Brother Martin? I think the very first thing that we find about this that was a path that led him down the path to where that which he said he would never do ended up becoming a reality is that he began to take the Lord Jesus for granted. There's much more that I could say about that. Second thing is this. We're reading back there in chapter 26 again, Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 33. And notice again what it says. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. It says, and Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. The second thing I see in this passage that led him down that pathway was he got lifted up in pride. First he took the Lord for granted, and then he got lifted up in pride. He thought, no, not me, never me. Oh man, I can tell you stories. People that never, and I would never get to that place in my life. I would never do that. There was a young man that when we moved to the church when we were up in northern Michigan, and this young man was a Sunday school superintendent for the junior boys. It was a big class and divided into a bunch of different Sunday school teachers and all that, but he was the superintendent over it. And something happened in church. Preacher preached a message one day, and it convicted him hard. And man, he got so upset at preacher. And the reason he was upset at preacher is because he was upset about what the Word of God had to say. And man, he got sideways with the preacher. He ended up, his wife was one of the teachers in the girls' classes too. He had two kids in the church there. The kids were in the Christian school there. He dropped out of church. Man, we went by to try to visit him, and the preacher said, man, he won't even talk to me. So we went by to try to visit him, me and another deacon in the church, and man, he was just hot as a hornet, man. He was all upset about everything and about what preacher, almost like, you know what, how dare he say that to me? How dare he? Well, wait a minute, is it the Word of God or not? You know, what does the Word of God had to say? And anyway, we couldn't get through to him. I said, you know what, if you've got such a bad problem with the preacher over the Word of God, I said, and you can't sit under the preacher, then you better find a church that you can go. Oh, I could never go to another church. There's no other church around here I could ever go to. I said, then it sounds to me like you need to swallow your pride and get back where you need to be. He wouldn't do it. We visited him a couple more times. The last time we visited him, went to visit him, he invited us in the house, and man, you could tell he was a mess. I mean, this was a sharp guy, too, ran his own business. And we go in, and he says, come on in. He said, Let's go in the kitchen and sit down. We go in and sit down in the kitchen, and there on the kitchen table, he's got a fifth of Jack Daniel's liquor on the kitchen table. That's the last time I spoke to him. What's happened to him since then? He never got back in church. His children's lives became a disaster. He's divorced now. This is the Sunday school superintendent. I promise you that this young man never dreamed that he would end up in the place that he ended up. Well, how did it happen? He began to take some things for granted about the Lord and about his word. Hey, he began to get lifted up in pride because of who he thought he was. And how dare somebody say that to me? Over in Romans chapter 12, flip over there real quick. Romans chapter 12. And just a couple other passages about this. I told the kids in college, I'm having a hard time. I got a new Bible and these pages stick and it's hard to get there. Amen. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We know these verses. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hey, this is what God expects of us. What? That we be transformed, that we become what he wants us to be. But the very next verse, notice verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of the faith. What do you mean? Hey, that's what's expected of you. Don't think that you're something better than somebody else, maybe because you are obedient to what the Word of God has to say. Why? Because you're setting yourself up for a fall too. Amen. What about Galatians chapter 6? Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1-3, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is what is expected as a child of God, what God expects out of us. But it says in verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now, you take that in context, what's it talking about? Hey, you all, you look down at other people because they fall or because, hey, you ain't got no business doing that. Man, you need to understand and realize that you're as susceptible to it as anybody else is. Hey, man, be used of God to help people. Amen. Proverbs chapter 6. I'm not going to turn there, but these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven, an abomination unto him. What's the very first thing? A proud look. Yeah. Amen. What are you saying, Brother Martin? Man, this will take you down a pathway you never dreamed you would ever go down. Yeah. What do you mean? Taking the Lord for granted, getting lifted up in pride. What about this? Turn over to Matthew 26 again. Third thing, beginning in verse number 36. It says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. That's a pretty simple request. Yeah. I mean, this is the inner circle. And the Lord's saying, please, just tarry. Man, my soul is grieved right now. Just tarry here with me and watch with me. It says that he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. You know, everything that Jesus did, he did for an example to us. Right. This was an example for his disciples. He wanted his disciples to see this. He wanted his disciples to see him praying. He wanted to see this agony scene in the garden. Why? To see how they could get victory over the times in their life when they go through this. It says, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Well, what are you saying, Brother Martin? Listen, a simple request. Would you please come with me? I'm going through agony in my life. He's about to go to the cross, and he's trying to help his disciples. And he said, just watch and pray with me. And he comes back, and he says, they're asleep. And he says, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Now stop and think about that. That's what Jesus said, 1 hour. I believe what the scripture said. What do you mean? It was only 1 hour. In 1 hour, they fell asleep on him. What are you saying, Brother Martin? Third thing that happened is that Peter grew apathetic and lazy to the Lord Jesus. A very simple request, 1 hour, just watch and pray with me. But he got lazy on the Lord. I'm going to tell you, that's a dangerous place for a Christian to get. To get lazy on God. To stop serving the Lord. To stop obeying his commands. To stop doing the service of the Lord and doing what he wants us to do with our life. There's a message I preach on Solomon and about his life and about how he turned away from God and turned into apostasy and everything. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. He got very apathetic in his life. There's a lot of apathetic Christians today. We live in a very lazy and apathetic Christian day and age today. We're spoiled as Christians today. What, could you not watch 1 hour? Can I say something to you? Jesus is coming. Hey, Jesus is coming back again. Amen. And he expects us to be doing the work that he's called us to do when he returns. Amen. He wants to reward us for serving him. And don't get lazy. Don't get apathetic in your service for God, man. Stay faithful. Stay true to him. These are all just little things, but they all snowballed together to cause Peter to get to the place where he ended up denying the Lord Jesus Christ. What happened to him? Well, first of all, he took the Lord for granted. Secondly, he got lifted up in pride. Thirdly, he got apathetic and lazy toward the Lord Jesus. Didn't even do the simple things that God asked him to do. I could run on that for a long time. For sake of time, I'm not going to do this. But listen, we get apathetic and lazy in our walk with God. We get apathetic and lazy in reading the Word of God. Hey, if I pulled a screen down here right now and God showed your walk with God on that screen in front of everybody in here, I wonder how many would be crawling under their seat right now. What are you saying? Hey, don't think you're something that you're not. Amen. We're all in this battle. Amen. We got to be careful. We got to encourage one another. We got to help one another. We got to stay in the battle. Stay on the firing line. Amen. Why? So that we can finish this race the way that God wants us to. Don't get apathetic and lazy. Don't miss 1 week of soul winning. Because it leads to 2 weeks and 3 weeks and 4 weeks. Amen. And don't miss one day in your Bible. I said this to the college kids today. Why? Because it leads to another day and another day. And before you know it, you've missed a week of Bible reading. Amen. Don't miss a day in prayer. Maybe the hardest thing we do is pray. Oh, we pray about the things that we, necessities and all that kind of stuff, which God says we shouldn't be praying for that. That's what he said in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, I know everything that you need. I'll take care of that. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. So he got apathetic and lazy. Next thing we find, verse 47. Notice what it says here. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came with and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. And now he that betrayed him, gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand. We know from the scriptures over in the book of John that was Peter that did this. Stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? In that same hour, said Jesus to the multitudes, Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. The last statement, then all the disciples forsook him and fled. The thing that he said was going to happen begins to happen. You're all going to be offended in me tonight. And they got offended in him, and they fled. Well, what are you trying to say, Brother Martin? Peter got offended because the will of God didn't go the way that he thought it should go. Think about it. He was going to save Jesus. Save him from what? His destiny was to go to the cross and die for us. But Peter's mind was on the earthly. His mind was on the present. And he thought, well, I'll do what I can to try to save the Lord Jesus. He cuts Malchus's ear off. And the Lord reaches down, picks it up, and puts it back on again. Yep. And what did he say to him? No, all they that raise the sword will perish with the sword. Well, what's he saying here, Brother Martin? Hey, the will of God was for him to go to the cross. Amen. Peter got upset. He got offended because it didn't go the way that he thought it should go. He wanted Jesus to stay there with him. He wanted, let's just draw the application to our own personal lives. How many times have we got offended? That word offended literally means to be tripped up. How many times have we got offended because the will of God didn't go the way that we thought it should go? It's a daily battle. But God, why did you let this happen? But God, why did you let that happen? God, why did you let that? Hey, if we're not careful, we can get offended and get tripped up because God's will isn't what we wanted it to be. And the danger in that is we're heading down a pathway to go someplace that we never thought we would ever end up. Amen. Be careful about pouting when God's will doesn't go your way. A lot of Christians get pouty over things not going the way they think it should. Don't get bitter, get better. Yeah. Amen. When things don't go the way that you think they should, then ask God to give you the strength to be able to make it through and accept what he's given to you. Amen. Amen. Trusting our will over God's will is a very dangerous thing to do. But I wanted this. I'm sure Peter would be saying, I wanted you to stay here, Lord. But Jesus in the garden, if they would have been awake and could have listened to what he said, he told the Father, not my will, but thine be done. What? No, I want God's will. And that's what every one of us ought to want in our life too. Hey, if God wants a trial for your life, thank him for the trial that he brought into your life. Amen. We could go to 2 Corinthians or chapter 12 and talk about the Apostle Paul, where he came to that place, the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him. He besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from him. And what did the Lord say? My grace is sufficient for thee. Let me tell you something. God's grace will always be sufficient for his children. If we'll just look to him and trust him for it. Amen. Oh, how he wants to help us all, each and every one. What's the next thing that happened here? First, he got offended and walked away from the Lord because the will of God wasn't what he thought. Look at verse number, we read down through verse number, we already read all the way down through this, but look back at verse number 50. Let's look over Luke 22. Look over Luke 22. Hold your finger here. Look over in Luke 22. Okay, verse 57 and 58 of Matthew 26 say this. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Over in Luke chapter 22 and verse number 54, it says, and they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. The next step that takes place in this process of coming to the place where it never ends up becoming a reality is that we begin to follow afar off. What do you mean? All of a sudden, our walk with God's cold. All of a sudden, we begin to follow him at a distance. That's some of the other things that I've already said. We're not where we should be in our Bible. We are not where we should be in our prayer life. We're not where we should be even in church. Man, I see this happening so much, preacher. It blows my mind that we all of a sudden think that there's things that are more important than the house of God. Well, I got a ball game to go to. Oh, that's going to make a whole hill of beans when we get to heaven. What do you mean, man? Stay faithful to the things that mean the most and that ought to mean the most to us. Amen. Stay on track for the Lord. What do you mean? What ended up happening here was Peter, because, now you got to follow the pattern. Because he began to take the Lord for granted, because he got lifted up in pride, because he got a little bit lazy, because the will of God didn't go the way that he thought it should go, then he just begins to back away and follow afar off. It's a dangerous place for us to end up. Why? Because we're so close to never becoming a reality in our life. I'll promise you, if I would have asked at the very beginning, how many of you would say, I will never turn my back on God or walk away from God? Probably most of the people in the crowd would raise your hand. But some of us might be on that pathway right now because of how we're living our life. He began to follow afar off. Don't walk away from God. How close is your walk with the Lord tonight? How's your worship of the Lord tonight? Next thing that happens, notice what it says in verse 58 again. It says, Peter followed him far off into the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. How about over in Luke chapter 22? Look what it says in verse number 55. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. Who are they? Who are them? By the way, that's not pronouns. Amen. Who are they and them? It's the servants of the king. It's unbelievers. It's ungodly people. What do you mean? The next step in the process, you begin to follow afar off. Then you begin to compromise with lost. You begin to, as the way I put it, begin to warm yourselves by the fire to compromise. Amen. You find comfort in being around people you ought not be around. Amen. Man, I've seen this happen so many times. Right before people end up doing something they never dreamed they'd do, man, they get comfortable with people that are lost. Or I warn people all the time about this. I'll do it till the day I die. You better be careful about friendships with non-denominational people. They are not the same. They don't believe the same. They don't believe that book the way we know what that book has to say. They believe things in this, that you can do things and live by things that God speaks specifically against in His Word. Amen. 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 Well, what are you saying? Be careful about who you're warming yourself with. Be careful who you're compromising with. Be careful about getting close to worldly Christians. I warned the students today about that. Boy, you better be careful about that. It could cause your life to go that quick. Be careful about coworkers that try to bend you and turn you a different way, especially when you're not where you ought to be with the Lord. Who are you fellowshipping with tonight? You better be careful. You begin to warm by those fires of compromise, you're going to end up in a place that you never, ever dreamed that you would end up being. And the last thing here is this, the end result. What was the end result? Well, if you look at Matthew chapter 26 again and verse number, let's pick it up. In verse number 69, it says, Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. And he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You said you would never be offended. You said that you would never deny him. He goes on to say in verse 71, And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. I mean, that means that he swore. He didn't even know who Jesus was. Oh, wait a minute. You're the one that said you'd be willing to go with him to death. Yeah. Now you're in a place that you said you would never, ever be. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Boy, this one gets me. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Man, he denies him with an oath, and then begins to swear and cuss and tell, I don't even know who he is. I don't know what you're talking about. It says, and immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. The verse that really gets me is over in Luke 22. If you look at Luke 22 again, and look what it says in verse number 61, or verse 60. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. Verse 61 says, And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Boy, you stop and think about this. Peter was in eyeshot of the Lord Jesus the entire time. All the time that he was warming by the fires of compromise. All the time that he had began to follow afar off. He was in eyeshot of the Savior. It says in The Lord turned and looked upon him, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. What are you saying, Brother Martin? The end result of that which we never thought would happen, when it becomes a reality, there's weeping, there's bitterness, there's sorrow. Sad reality is a lot of Christians end up that way. Why? Because they don't take heed to the Word of God and what God tries to warn us about. Never, typically, doesn't become a reality right overnight. But if you follow this passage here, it happened quick.
Yeah.
It happened quick.
Yep.
What do you mean? You better stay close to the Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how close Peter was to the Lord at this point in time. I mean, he's with him and everything, but how close really is he? I mean, he stands up to the Lord when the Lord says, you're gonna be offended, and I'll never do that. Whoa. How close really was he at this point in time? Well, what are you saying, Brother Martin? You better be careful. Let's just stop tonight for a moment and think about our lives and where we're at. Have you been taking for granted the Lord Jesus and your relationship with him? Have you been lifted up in pride, thinking maybe that you're better than what you are? And again, as I said, we gave the scriptures here, but just because you're living for God and you're doing the things that are right, don't you look down your nose at anybody else. You remember and realize that you're just as susceptible as anybody else is to it. Amen. Are you getting lazy with your service toward the Lord? Have you stopped doing something that maybe you were doing before? I told a preacher here not long ago, preacher, I'm going to develop a message on that title, used to be. Used to be. Why? Because there's a whole lot of used to be Christians.
Yep.
Oh, we're still in church, but we don't do the things that we used to do. Man, that's a dangerous place to be too. Man, we need to be faithful. We need to be doing the things that we know we ought to be doing. We ought not be backing away from God. Hey, as the time approaches, as his return comes nearer and nearer, we ought to be fighting harder and charging harder at heaven. Amen. Are we following afar off? Have we gotten away from him in our walk? Are we beginning to compromise? I could have went a long way with that too. What are you watching on television that you would have never watched years ago? There's as much compromise right there as anything else we do. Watching television shows that glorify homosexuality and promiscuous lifestyles and all that kind of stuff. What are you saying? Where's the compromise in our life? Well, you better be careful. And then that's the last step before Peter ended up where he never thought he would be. How never becomes reality. Maybe tonight we just ask God, please, Lord, help me to stay as close to you as I can possibly get. God, help me to have that hunger and desire to live for you in a manner that pleases you. Don't ever let me get to the place where the things that I never thought would happen end up happening in a negative way in my life. Father, I pray that you would take the simple thought and help us tonight to take to heart the truth of your word, Lord, and I pray that we would look at the life of Peter, this good man, one of the inner circle, one that was so close to you, and yet he ended up in a place he never, ever, ever dreamed that he would be. God, if there's something that we need to do, decision we need to make, I pray that you'd help us to make that decision tonight. I pray that you'd have your will and way. In Jesus' name I pray. Let's stand to our feet. I'll turn the service over to the preacher. If God spoke to your heart, altar's open.
God spoke to you. Come and do business. We often think about people that get away from the Lord because they were far from the Lord. This was Peter. This is Peter.